If you can open your Bibles again this morning at Jude, we'll continue our wee walk through Jude this morning. And again, I'll just say, I get that it's a church in trouble, but it's not about your church in trouble. Okay? I'm not having a dig. Don't take it personally. But the whole thing for me is, how are we servants? How are we servants when we come across these worldly issues that we're going to look at in Jude? Okay, how do we become servants? How do we maintain our servanthood in these days of what's going on in Jude? Last week, we looked at just the first three verses. I looked at being humble. A servant knows that they're humble in front of God. A servant knows that they are called and kept. And a servant knows that they are honouring the faith and not our faith. Okay, so we're honouring the faith, the Bible, the Word of God. We are not honouring our faith. And remember last week I told you that I've got faith, that I've got our faith, that Rangers will get out of the trouble that they're in. But that's not a faith. That's just our faith. It's not the faith. It's not the Word of God. Do you know what I mean? It's just a pipe dream. Whereas the Word of God, isn't it a pipe dream? So we get that, yeah? So we are honouring the faith, yeah? And we need to keep that in our minds as we walk through these next few verses, because they're a bit heavy. But we remember that we're honouring the faith and how we are servants as we honour that faith. So let's read God's word. We'll start from verse 5. Though you already know this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling. Those he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah, the surrounding towns, gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They served as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the same way, on the strength of these dreams, these ungodly people pollute their bodies, reject authority, and heap abuse on celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these people slander whatever they do not understand, and the very things they do understand by instinct, as irrational animals will do, will destroy them. Woe to them, they have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit like Balaam's era, and they have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. And I think we'll leave it there this morning. And we do pray a blessing upon God's word. And that's a bit heavy. It's a bit heavy when we look at it like that and don't take it personally. But we have to remember that we are following the faith and we are walking in these days as servants of Jesus. And we can see, and when I came last week, I said I only had 5 points, and I wasn't going to do what Willie normally does and give you 3 points with about 3 subtitles, right? This morning I am. Sorry, I've fallen into his trap. But this morning we have my first point, right? That a servant stands firm in the faith when people lose their way. So that's the first point, and there's 3 wee bits there we need to look at. In the first couple of verses there, verse 5 onwards. A servant loses their way. A servant stands firm in the faith when people lose their way. We see here that Israel lost their victory. Israel lost their victory. They all fell away from the grace of God. Israel forgot in times of trouble. When the guys came back, when the slaves came, when the scouts came back, and they heard about this glorious land. And then all of a sudden, they heard about the big giants. And what did they do? They turned their back on the very person that got them out of trouble in the first place. They turned their back on their faith. They started honouring God or other gods with statues. They went back to what they first knew. coups and statues, burnt offerings. You see, Israel lost their way. They lost their way right away. They were taken out of Egypt towards the land of milk and honey. They send the scouts forward. Everything seems okay. The scouts come back. This place is going to be fantastic. Well, by the way, there's massive giants. Oh, let's get back to what we once knew. You see, a servant stands firm when it doesn't look right, when it gets uncomfortable. That's what the servant does. They don't fall away. They forgot the God who does possibilities. See, we don't have an impossible God. We have a God of possibilities. We have a God who, yes, there may be giants in other lands. There might be intimidating people. There might be problems to get through. But we have a God who deals with possibilities. He deals with problems. He leads us through these problems. When it's impossible, God finds a way. We just have to follow that chosen path that we're on. And that is keeping the faith. That's what a servant does. He maintains the faith. He walks through the faith. That's my first wee sub-point. Now the angels, they lost their vocation. Now I bet you had never thought much about the fallen angels of the world. Have you ever thought about the fallen angels of the world? Well, no, you haven't, have you? No, because we need to go shopping. You know what I mean? Well, the kids have got to go to school. Yeah, but don't spend too long dwelling on that theological point about the fallen angels of what God does. And what a blessing that is. And in verse 6, do you know what the scary thing is? He keeps them and he has kept them. You know? He keeps and he kept. Verse 6, it's in there. Two words. The angels didn't keep their vocation. And God has kept them for judgment. That's scary. These are the fallen angels. These are the people who have got it wrong. These are the people who will not see eternal life. God, they never kept their calling. And God is keeping them for judgment. Yeah, that's a bit heavy. They are bound in chains, lost their chance of eternal glory. For what? Temptation. You know, if angels can't do what they're supposed to do, then God will. And I think we need to hear that as servants of Jesus. See, we stand firm in the faith and we remember why we're kept in times like these. We remember who keeps us. Pride and lust get a grip. And we can see the dangers of losing your vocation, your calling. Remember last week, God called you. He has called you and he's keeping you. And he keeps you through all sorts of stuff. But here, the angels forgot to keep their vocation, forgot to keep their calling, and God is now keeping them for judgment. Temptations come your way, we remain firm in our faith. So a servant of Jesus in these moments remembers to hold firm to the faith, stands firm in the faith. When people lose their way. Israel lost their way. The angels lost their way. And of course the third one, my third wee point here, Sodom and Gomorrah lost their way. Now I don't need to tell anybody in the Church of Scotland about this issue. Alright, I don't. I'm pretty sure I don't. Alright, I don't need to tell you about this issue. Sin is sin is sin. And yet Lot in Genesis 13:10, he went and had a look, and Sodom and Gomorrah was beautiful, wasn't it? If you read Genesis 13, verse 10, it looked beautiful. There's plenty of water, and it was green, and it was lush, and it was stunning. And yet it was full of sin. It was doing the wrong thing. Glasgow's beautiful. Maybe you get the point there. You see, we don't stand by and we don't stand idle. But we stand firm in our faith. You know, the interesting thing that's really challenging me is, know how we deal with same-sex marriage. It's know how we deal with it. That's not the question for me. The question is, how do we love the people who are in same-sex marriages? That's the bigger question for me. Not how we deal with it, it's how we love the people who are in that. And that's a big issue, and I know this goes out on the internet, but I stand by that. How do we love them? Not how do we deal with the same-sex marriage issue, it's how do we love the people who are in same-sex marriages. Sodom and Gomorrah lost their virtue. They lost because they fell into that trap of sex and sin and doing the wrong thing. So let's sum this up a wee bit. Israel disbelieved and lost their power. Angels disobeyed God and they lost their position. And Sodom and Gomorrah were defiled and lost their purity. And I don't, so hopefully when you hear me saying it's not a personal dig about Partick Trinity, it's how do we at Partick Trinity stand firm in our faith in these moments, because they're happening today. How do we stand firm in our faith? And we stand firm in our faith by the faith of God, by the faith, by following the faith, by following the word of God. Loving your neighbour as yourself. We things like that. You know, when sin is the order of the day, a confused state of mind occurs. People reject authority. They do not stand under the authority of Scripture, but they stand under the authority of the world. We stand firm against that. Jude calls them dreamers in verse 8. You know, a servant doesn't follow the crowd, but stands firm in the Lord. Will my anchor hold? Yes, it will. But only in the Lord in these times. A servant stands firm when others fall away. So that's my first wee point. As we stand firm when others fall away. And there's three perfect examples there of countries falling away, of angels falling away, and of communities falling away. So my second point, a servant stands firm when they encounter strong characters. A servant stands firm when they encounter strong characters in verse 11. You can see it there. Cain, Balaam, and Korah. One a jealous murderer, one selfish and greedy, and the other, well, he was a leader full of his own importance who led others to their death. They remind me that as servants we encounter the world as it is in three very strong characters. The first one, of course, Cain, full of jealousy, murderous thoughts and actions. Cain in Genesis 4 onwards, the way of Cain leads to jealousy. The way of Cain leads to death. The way of Cain leads to separation from God. Strong characters. He had no love. A servant knows love. This servant didn't. But also, we're reminded as well of the ending. Cain, banished, separated from God, and yet in his own mind doing the right thing. A servant stands firm against strong characters. And Balaam, from Numbers 22 to 24, we can see it. God tells him one thing, but he's intimidated by Balak and his wrath, and he settles for the money. So we have murderous and jealousy, and now we have money, and we have greed. Strong characters chasing money and greed. This is heavy, but stay with me. And then, of course, we have Korah, the impatient one. I want it now, he says. Numbers 16. A strong character. Come with me and I'll get your milk and honey. But no, that's not the way God wanted it. You know, it's a strong servant that doesn't follow the crowd but stays on a narrow path. When there is envy, jealousy, money, greed, persuasion and people, we don't lead others down the wrong path by our faith. We stand firm in the truth, in the faith, against strong characters. You know, this is a wee bit heavy, and I get that this morning. But I think it's worth hearing, because these are the issues that we deal with every day of our lives. These are the issues that are there. But we, the constant message through Jude is to stand firm. Stand firm. You know, our feet might slip, but God won't. And what are we meant to do through all that? You know, we cling to this rock that remains firm, but we have to remain firm in our faith, the faith. So how do you equip yourself? And I think from following on from last week, from verse 3, when he says, the faith entrusted to us. You see, this is the responsibility we have. It's not just about coming here on a Sunday, but it's about living it out Monday to Sunday. It's about living it out. And that's a challenge, I think. And I don't know about anybody in here, right? Who prefers a shower to a bath? Who likes a bath? Oh, I like a bath, don't you? But you don't get time for a bath because you have to have a shower. Because a shower's quicker, isn't it? Isn't it? I'll have a shower. I've challenged myself. I can be in and out of the shower in less than a minute. That's easy. Easy. What you do, you put the soap on first, right? And then you put the shower on and you give yourself a good scrub and then you get out within a minute. It works. Just don't stand too close to me. You see, the thing is, right, I like my bath bombs, right? I like it when the kids go out and the wife goes out and I can run my bath, right? And I can put the candles on. See, I like that, right? And I can get my music out, right? The music that I'm not allowed to play when the kids are in the house, right? AC/DC, you know, that stuff. And I like it, right? Because I can just play it. It's amazing. I've got the bath bombs. The music's blasted up the stairs, right? It's amazing, right? It takes a bit of time to organise that, though. Okay? It's not like a shower, right? But that's what happens. You see, if you're going to equip yourself, you know, it takes time to do that, doesn't it? It takes time to have a bath, doesn't it? Because the shower's just bang, bang, bang. Away you go. My hair, I don't need to worry about my hair. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, you don't need to worry about that. But you see, that's the thing about, and you know what I love as well? Drive-through Costas. Because I love them, right? Because I don't have time anymore to sit and have a coffee. I've got two kids, right? I don't have time, yeah? I don't have time anymore to sit and have a coffee and enjoy myself and read my paper. I don't have time to do that anymore. You see, to have running a bath takes time. And going for a coffee, that takes time. Whereas a drive-through is a doddle. You know, wee skinny decaf latte, away I go. You know, no problem. And we've got a young couple who are walking the West Highland Way next week. Good luck to you. And I'm a wee bit of an anorak when it comes to the way. I've done it in 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days. And then I thought, right, I'm bored of this. I'm going to walk it non-stop. Right? So I started on the Friday morning at 6 o'clock and I walked non-stop all the way to Fort William and it took me 39 hours, right? So that takes a bit of time to organise though. A bath takes time to organise, yeah? So we get what I'm going here, I hope, yeah? It takes time to... See, we can't do drive-through theology. We can't do drive-through Jesus, right? We need to take our time. So when I say we need to run a bath, we need to do the same as we equip ourselves. We need to read our Bibles. We kind of just do... We kind of do it quickly. All right? As much as we run out of time when we have a bath, yeah? All right? As much as it's society is going quickly, isn't it? Who gets annoyed when the internet doesn't go as fast as you want it to go? You know what I mean? You know? Some of the folk in here don't even know what the internet is. You know what I mean? And brilliant. You know what I mean? Praise God for that. These are the folk who actually write letters. You know, am I going down? What is it? Thank you. See, you know, we conform to society, drive-through coffees, showers, you know, and when I did the West Highland Way, it takes time to prepare. It takes a lot of time to prepare. If you're going to walk for 39 hours non-stop, you need a support. You need support. You need a backup. You need help. If you're going to go for a bath, you need to organise the bath bombs, don't you? Because you need to go in at the right time or they dissolve too early. You know, all that kind of stuff. It takes time. It takes time to organise our theology. All right? Yeah? It takes time. We need to take the time to read our Bibles. That's what I'm getting at there. You know, if we're going to contend this faith, Right? We need to take the time to find the time to read our Bibles. And how do you do that? That sounds like a question. When you look in the mirror, you need to ask that question yourself. You know what I mean? I don't do fast theology. I need to think about it. I need to take a bath time theology. And sometimes it's okay doing a wee quick read through your Bible. That's fine. That sustains you. I get that. But we need to, if we're going to equip ourselves to live in a time we've set, if we're going to stand firm in the faith, we need to make sure we know the faith. All right? And I've stopped doing the Psalms every day. When I come back in July, I'll do a couple of Psalms. That's not a problem. But when I've stopped doing the Psalms, I'm going back through the Gospels. That's what I'm reading today. I'm going through the Gospels. And I'm preparation that for the new church when I go to Pollock. We're going to get through the Gospels. And it takes time to organize that. Do you know what I mean? It takes time. So we need to take time. Take time to pray. Take time to listen to God. Yeah, we kind of keep doing quick shares. We kind of do, you know, and that's a challenge. I think that's if we are going to equip ourselves to stand in a world like it is today, we need to make sure that we are standing firm in our faith, that we are equipped to deal. A servant equips himself by no doing fast food theology or drive-through theology, but bath theology where we soak in it. You know what I mean? You get that. You get where I'm going there. A servant, I think, equips himself by seeking God's word, sitting in silence and listening. Are you equipped? It's a big question. And I'm no pointing any fingers because in my own life, you know, it's a struggle. And I get paid to do this. Do you know what I mean? And it's still a struggle. And I'm sure Alan would be the same. He's in that blessed position. But it's a struggle. You know, it's a struggle. And finally in verse 9, we get to verse 9, right? And this is the challenge in today's society, right? So we're equipping ourselves, yeah? We're equipping ourselves. We've heard that bit about equipping ourselves from verse 3 onwards, really, against the stuff of the world, against the strong characters, and against the people who have lost their way. We're equipping ourselves. And in verse 9, a servant never judges. Verse 9. That's a challenge, isn't it? That's one of the biggest challenges in society today, I think, is that we never judge. So Michael here in verse 9, it's been written that the best of angels, and that's what Michael was, he was the best of angels, refuses to speak evil to the best of evils. That no human should ever speak evil to the worst of humans. An angel, Michael, the one who is like God, who's that image of God, what an image that is to have. The angel's gaffer, so to speak. And here he is in a conversation with the devil, supposedly, right? He's having this conversation, and he's disputing with the devil. Doesn't it get any bigger than that? Doesn't it get any bigger than that at all? About Moses' body, right? See how, what's the point? Now, at no time does Michael say to him, by the way, do you realize that Jesus is going to die on the cross? And he's going to rise again. And ultimately, we win. Right? We have eternal glory. We have that eternal hope. He doesn't say that. And the scary thing is, Michael doesn't know where Moses is buried. And by the way, neither does the devil. Right? And only God knows. Deuteronomy 34, verses 5 and 6. Let me read them to you. And Moses, a servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab in the valley opposite Beth Poor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. And yet Michael, in a dispute with the devil, leaves the heavy stuff to God. He doesn't say, you're right. He doesn't put him down. He just lays, the Lord will judge. You see, that if we're going to live in a society like today, with everything that's going on, the easiest thing today is to become like society and judge. We are meant to stand firm in the faith. And he doesn't jump in with both feet. He doesn't judge. He leaves the judgment to God. He leaves the judgment to God. And that's, I don't, suggest that you were a group of judgers. I don't suggest that at all. But I know what I'm like. I know what I'm like. You know, if the archangel Michael doesn't judge, what gives us the right to judge? If he says the Lord will judge, how do we act? Then how do we act? And we act with mercy and love. It's the only way we can. With mercy, love, and acceptance. It's the only way we can act. We are servants of the God Most High, and what an image of servanthood we see in Christ. Love your neighbour as yourself. You see, that this servant image in this text is all about showing the love of Christ and no judging people. And that's no easy. But that's the challenge. You see, if we come across these people who have walked away, who are living the lives that they lead, who are doing all this stuff, we are not to judge, but to love. And again, it's been written, if the best of angels refuses to speak evil to the best of evils, that no human should ever speak evil to the worst of humans. We should never do it. We should never be judging. We are to show the other side of that judging, which is love and acceptance. We leave the heavy stuff to God. We show the love of Christ. We are not to judge. So a servant of God in times such as this stands firm in the faith. They face hostility and the big personalities. And a servant equips themselves. We soak in a bath theology. And we leave the judging to God in these days. And I think we'll finish there. Nice.